Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 1 and 2. And you'll find this word revive in verse number 2. And that's the word study that we're going to do tonight. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Nehemiah 4 and verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we had builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" What a neat place for the word revive to be found in this verse. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Heavenly Father, bless, Lord, the study of your word tonight. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, I'm just amazed. I'm just amazed. More and more, year after year, as I just study this King James Holy Bible, it's just an amazing thing. Lord, those that want to say it's just a book that men wrote, well, they've certainly never studied it. Lord, we can see your handiwork all through it. Thank you for not only giving it, Lord, by inspiration, but your promise to preserve it, for taking custodial care of the very words of God so that we could have it to all generations. And Lord, we delight in studying the Bible tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Every month, we've taken kind of a monthly theme underneath the umbrella theme of A Heart for Home, and this month is dedicated to the idea of revival. In fact, this month's theme is A Heart for Revival, A Heart for Revival. I like revival. I'll tell you what, I enjoyed our revival services. I just did. Boy, it just came at a great time for me. Just seems like God, when he schedules things, I don't know why, but it just seems like, you know, his ways are right, his times are right. It just hit as a good place in my life. And I really felt like that the Lord used it in my own personal life just to revive some things that needed to be revived. And of course, we had that already. We've already had our revival meeting, and then we're looking forward in this same month, at the end of the month, to do our one-day Bible conference. And so we're just kind of settling in. I don't know. I like the phrase, a season of revival. I'm not sure that you can just have a revival meeting. I think sometimes God just needs to settle in for a period of time, a season in our lives, and just, you know, stir some things and ignite some things. And I feel like even the messages outside of the revival services, the Lord's just used this month. I think if you've had an open heart and you wanted a touch from God, I think it's been available. I really do. And then the last two nights, I went over to Gerald Claney's church, my son-in-law, and he had revival scheduled. You say, "Preacher, I didn't see a bulletin or a flyer. You never announced it on Sunday." And, well, I'll tell you, Brother Gerald, Pastor Claney, he called me a couple months ago and, you know, "We've got this revival coming. We're going to have you preach." I said, "Yes." He said, I'm not going to invite any other church, none of the other churches." And I said, "Tell me your thinking." And he said, "I don't know. It's just God's put it on my heart. I just feel like this meeting needs to be for us." I've had those times where I just felt like, you know what, I want to be a blessing. We usually invite folks in the area, but sometimes I'm not sure just for the family. We just need something for the family, you know. And so that's what God laid on his heart, and I said, "Okay, we'll keep it a secret. We won't tell anybody until it's over, you know." And I went over Monday night and preached, and I don't misinterpret that. It's not that they're having problems or that there's a bunch of things that needed to be fixed. Sometimes a preacher just knows that God wants the family there, and let's let God help us. And God did some sweet things. Boy, we had a sweet service on Monday night, and then last night also just the moving of God. And the bad news is that Brother Reiser's finishing it up tonight, and so everything that's been accomplished, it'll be dismantled tonight, but at least for 2 days they experienced a little bit of revival. Amen. No, I told everybody, I said, "Wait till you see when he comes in." I said, "He's gone rogue on us. He's turned Amish." I said, "He's got this big Amish beard." And I said, I don't know what you're going to hear tomorrow night. So anyway, amen. But But you know, again, you know, I came to our revival, and I got helped, and I got to preach part of a revival, and I was helped, and I just like revival. You know, it's a wise Christian who knows themselves. Let me say that again. It's a wise Christian who learns to know themselves. You know, we can excuse problems or we can pretend they're not there, but it's a good place in your Christian life when you're transparent enough with the Holy Spirit of God just to know sometimes that you need something. And sometimes, Lord, I know that I need something and I don't even know what it is. I've prayed that prayer where I've just said, Lord, I'm not sure what I need, but I need something from you. But aren't you glad that God always knows what we need? And I think going into a revival meeting, sometimes I think, well, I need this. And then during the revival meeting, God shows me that's not really what I needed. What I needed was this. And so tonight I want to just kind of do a Bible study on this subject of revival. You'll find the word revive 8 times in the King James Bible, and you'll find it in 7 different verses, and we'll look at several of those tonight. But the first one that I wanted to draw to your attention was in the book of Nehemiah. In the study, the word study of the word revive, I found 3 very definite places in the Bible and definite reasons why God's people needed to be revived. 3 very different reasons. And again, what you got out of the revival may be totally different than what I got out of the revival. You know, aren't you glad the Holy Spirit can take the same service and meet this need over here and a completely different need over here? And so I'm so glad God's in charge of this thing, you know. You get the Word of God and the Spirit of God involved and everybody gets help. But you, as you study the Bible, revival is needed for different reasons. Number one, at times we need revival because of the attack of the enemy. Because of the attack of the enemy. And you know what? That's what's happened here. Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian army had descended like locusts upon Jerusalem 70 years earlier. They had left the city and the walls in ruins. Where there used to be beauty, there's nothing but heaps of rubbish. Now, this is what's exciting. But in the rubbish, think about this as you look at this verse here. In the rubbish, there are stones. Let's read that verse again. And he spake before his brethren, verse 2, and the army of Samaria, what do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? It's interesting, sometimes God uses the very words of the enemy to prophesy his intent. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? You know what, for the casual observer, it just looked like a devastation and destruction. It just looked like heaps of burnt material. But if you poked around in there, you know what you found? You found some stones. And you know what? You had to get rid of the rubbish, but you could pick through and you could find some stones that were left. And those stones, think about this, those stones could then be used to rebuild something. Among the devastation lies the building blocks of revival. Well, let me help you with this, okay? Sometimes in my life, I've needed revival because of the attack of Satan in my life. You know, folks, listen to me. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that every time the devil's attacked, that it didn't do a bit of good. But sometimes he's real good at what he does. And you know what? I think we've all can look back and say, boy, there's been times in my life where I was saved, preacher, but the devil just kind of took a season in my life and just wreaked havoc. And you know what? He tore down some things and destroyed some things. And if we're not careful, we can take a step back and become very discouraged as we look at what's left and what he was allowed to destroy. But you know what? In the midst of that destruction lies the building blocks for a new start. I like that. I listened this week. I was in my shop working on a little project, and I took my phone out and I wanted to hear some preaching. And so, you know, I need to hear preaching. I like hearing preaching. And so I hadn't listened to Brother Howell's for a while, so I got on there and I just hit search and Jack Howell's sermons, and on this one website there was a list of them, and there was a sermon I heard him preach in person years ago called "The Hair of His Head Began to Grow." And I remember hearing that in person, so I punched that, set it up in the windowsill. Metal building, I walk in my metal building, I don't know what it's about it, but it kills the cell signal, which a lot of times is a blessing. It really is, it's a blessing. But if I lean it over on the south side against the window, I can get a couple bars and then I can listen to it. And he began to preach on the subject of Samson. You know, folks, the devil wreaked havoc in Samson's life. Anybody that's even a casual Bible reader, if you haven't even studied the life of Samson, if you've just read the story a couple times, you'd walk away saying, "Preacher, what in the world? Here's a man that had nuclear potential for the Lord, and yet there was one besetting sin that he was unwilling to deal with, and it eventually led to his destruction." And you know what? Think about it. You talk about there's nothing but heaps of rubbish left. Here this superman for the Lord Jesus Christ all of a sudden is reduced to an oxen or a mule that's grinding in the mill. And his eyes that used to see are now been put out. And the muscles that used to do amazing things, now all they do is just do the work of livestock. And anybody that looked at that would say, well, there's just rubbish. There's nothing left. But I love that little phrase in that story where it says, but the hair of his head began to grow. And I guess maybe the Lord wanted me to come to you with this thought. You know, there's times, listen, folks, we're not always going to win. And there's times when we should stand up stronger against the devil, and I don't know all the reasons, but sometimes the enemy just destroys some things. But I don't want you to quit. And I'm glad that the last chapter, if there's got to be a last chapter and a last story in the life of Samson, let it be that he found the two pillars, and he prayed to God, and his hair began to grow. And you know what? God raised him up. Study his life. The reason God raised him up was to help deliver them out of the hands of the Philistines. And you know what? The original intent of his life was accomplished in the last breaths of his life because he had a chance to be used again. And go over to Psalms 138. This verse will tie right into it, but I could read it, but I want you to see some of the verses tonight. I want you to feel like you can underline them and put a star beside them. Sometimes I just got arrows pointed to a verse because next time I read through it, I need to see it again. This is what you're going to need sooner or later in your life. Sometimes you're going to need this. But Psalms 138, if you'll look at verse number 7, David wrote this. He knew a little bit about being devastated by the devil and destroyed by the devil. Some things, attacks of Satan, he knew about that. Psalms 138:7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. And so you know what, folks? If the enemies wreaked a little havoc in your life and you see some things have been a little bit destroyed, and preacher, you know what? I'm discouraged, and where used to stand some beautiful monuments, now there's rubbish. Well, look in the rubbish. Poke around a little bit in the rubbish. Because I think even in the midst of the rubbish, there's the stones, the building blocks of revival. We and Cheryl was driving back from our vacation out east, and we were coming back through, and Saturday night we made it to Mansfield, Ohio, and then the next morning we were going to attend a church there in Mansfield, and I didn't have one in mind. I didn't really pick one, but so we searched and found an independent fundamental Baptist church there in Mansfield, and figured out where it was and went there the next morning and walked in the back of the church. And a beautiful church, beautiful auditorium, nice facilities, but really not very many people. And I walked in Sunday school, great Sunday school lesson, and the preacher and his wife came back and talked to us between Sunday school and church. And, you know, I walked in and they happened to have been at the youth revival up in Elgin, Illinois, 2 or 3 years ago when I was preaching there. I didn't remember them, but they said, "Hey, we know who you are. You preached at this." And I said, "Well, praise the Lord." We began to talk and compare notes. And the pastor's wife kind of looked around like she was a little bit embarrassed. And she said, "You know, we just gone through kind of a little bit of a time of transition." And her husband said, "Well, there's no use calling it that. Might as well say what it is." He said, the devil's really just launched an attack on our church in the last year. He said, a couple men joined the church about a year ago. He said, you know, they were given our statement of faith. They agreed to abide by that. We thought that they were a good addition to our church, but he said after they were here for several months, we found out that they were going around in the congregation and teaching false doctrine. And he said it's something that I couldn't let go. And he said that the problem is by the time I realized it was happening, they'd stolen some of the hearts of the people. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody do that's a snake. They're a stinking snake, you know. But anyway, and he said by the time the dust settled, he said about half of our congregation, preacher, so we're kind of rebuilding. And I sat there and thought, you know, of all the churches we could have gone to, we went to that one. And took a few minutes, me and my wife did, honestly, just to encourage them, be a blessing to them. And the next service, I amend everything the man said, man. I think I even amend his announcements, you know. And just wanted to, and I thought, you know, folks, what happened? You know, the enemy got in. And by the way, the devil's had a lot more time. He's just got a lot more experience than anybody here. He's been around longer than any of us. And he's done a lot of devastation through the centuries, and he's destroyed a lot of people, and he's hurt a lot of ministries, and he's very good at what he does. And sometimes we go to the Lord just because we say, Lord, the enemy, look what the enemy did, Lord. Lord, look at this. I mean, there was something beautiful, and now there's rubbish. What, Lord, what's going on? And the Lord says, okay, poke around. Isn't this good? Poke around in that rubbish. Clean a little bit of that rubbish off. What do you find in there? There's the building blocks to start again. And aren't you glad God's the God of a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance? So I don't know what revival was for you in our revival. And by the way, it's not done. I don't think we have a revival meeting. I said it already. I think we have a season of revival. I think it's still happening. I think this month God just wants to do some things. But maybe because of the attack of the enemy, revival month for you was just a time to be encouraged that, you know what, you can start over, you can start again. And God did not give up on his people. And God did begin to build that city again. And the walls were built again. And the temple was built again. Let the heathen rage. But you know what? There were sacrifices. And they did fortify. You know, every question that man asked, God in heaven said, yep, devil, you think you won, but you haven't won anything. Because God always comes back, and he always stands up for his people. So at times we need revival because of the attack of the enemy. Let's go to Psalms 85. Psalms 85, we're close there. Psalms 85. Number one, at times we need revival because of the attack of the enemy. Number two, at times we need revival because of the sinfulness of our lives. Because of the sinfulness of our lives. This is a psalm dedicated to the idea of revival. And the reason given in this psalm is because of the iniquity of God's people. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry for us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. At times we need revival because of the sinfulness of our heart. And folks, there's a lot of things that put out the fire that burns in the heart of a Christian, but nothing will put it off faster than secret sin and unconfessed sin, allowing sin to creep up in our lives. You know, this idea of David and what happened to him, when we read, of course, over in Psalms 51, you want a good prayer to pray through when you just need a good cleaning up. Psalms 51 is a wonderful psalm just to pray before the Lord. You say, preacher, you've prayed that psalm many times. I've gone before the Lord and prayed that psalm. You know, as much as we're prone to sin and prone to failure, I'm here to report to you something that you already know, but we all need to hear in a season of revival. God is still a forgiving God. And I'm so thankful that 1 John chapter 1, we read, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know, to revival to me a lot of times is just, it's cleaning time. It's cleaning up time. It's search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. I think the best work of revival is done in the hearts of Christians that just come and say, Lord, even if I don't know what's wrong, show me what's wrong. Even if I think I'm okay, Lord, but I'm not, reveal it to me because I want to be okay with you. You know, there's nothing quite like the feeling of getting clean, of just getting clean, you know. I stopped just last week. I made a trip up to Brazil, Indiana, and I stopped and caught our old neighbor home. Jerry Purcell invited my mom and dad to church. And I got our family going to the Rock Run Baptist Church, where eventually dad got saved, mom got saved. Most of us kids got saved right there at the Rock Run Baptist Church. And I knocked on the door of his house. I tried to see him a couple weeks ago, and he wasn't there. So I ran back over and caught him at home. He's 81 years old now. And I knocked on the door, and a lady came to the door. Well, last year when I knocked on the door, he came to the door and told me his wife had passed away. So something scandalous is happening. I knew it's a good thing I came. Talk about revival. And he came out and introduced me to his new wife, Margaret. And he said, I was lonely as she was lonely. And guess what? Neither one of us are lonely anymore. And I said, so we sat on the front porch. And you know, then all the childhood stories starts getting told, you know. And he remembers things a lot different than I remember about him. But, you know, he's 81. His mind's obviously going. Mine, sharp, sharp, man, sharp. He's talking about one time when me and his boys, and me, all of us three boys and his two boys went down, and there was a small creek that ran down at the bottom of his property. And, you know, five boys with nothing to do, we're going to think of something. So we decided what we'd do is we were going to build Hoover Dam, and we were going to stop this creek from flowing. And I say a creek, it wasn't very, probably about as wide as the pulpit area here, you know. But man, and I mean, we worked all day long, hauling everything we could until we had dammed up that creek. And I mean, we took buckets of mud and slop and sticks and rocks. And I mean, we spent from morning to night till we built this beautiful lake, this beautiful reservoir. Everybody downstream was going to be denied of water for the rest of eternity, or at least until the next day, because by the next day it had busted and it all went through. But we spent a whole day doing it. And then after we accomplished that, we were so proud of ourselves. We came up and we were wanting to get something to drink, something to eat. So we're hollering for Ruth Ann Purcell, you know. So calling for her to bring us something, and she steps out the back door and looks at all five of us. And she used to tell the story that all she could see was like five sets of white eyes, because we were just mud and filth and dirt and just, I mean, looked like little mud daubers, you know. And she said, stop! Stand right there. And we all stood right there. She went over and got the garden hose, you know. She just started on one end and sprayed us all off from the back. Turn around! And sprayed us all off from the front. Turn around! And that's what she did. You know, I've spent my life getting dirty. Most of the jobs that I've done in my life have been jobs where you came home sweaty and dirty and filthy. And you know what? If you've done it and you've done a good day's work doing it, that's all right. But there is something nice about coming home. There's something nice about taking off all those filthy clothes and throwing them in a pile and getting a good hot shower going and standing there. And I mean scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing till you get all of that off of you. And then you get out and then you put on nice clean clothes and you go in and you sit down. Come on, everybody in here knows what that feeling is. Well, you know what? That's kind of what revival is. Because even if you're saved, you know what? Remember Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, and Peter said, you need to wash all of them. He said, no, you're not one of mine if I need to wash all of you. What was he teaching? He was saying, even those of us that have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, just walking through this earth, we're going to accumulate enough filth every day where we need a good old-fashioned bath. And I've never in my life made it through a day where I didn't have to get on my knees and confess something. And you know what? If you have, I'd sure like to hear that testimony. No, I really wouldn't. I don't want any liar testifying in the church. Now, you know what? We're all prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And even if you do the best you can, at the end of the day, you know what? You still need good clean. And you know what? To me, I'm just telling you what a season of revival is. I don't know what happened in our meeting, but you know what? Revival's not a meeting. It's a season. And you know what? I don't think revival's done. I think it just started. And you know what? Don't let the days of this calendar month tick away. Don't let them be X'd off and at the end of this month still be standing there in filth when you can be clean. Now, I want to encourage you, because let me tell you something. I know how the devil works. Preacher, you don't understand. I even as a Christian, I've got my life so messed up, and I've got so many things going, and I've got so many. I could never be right. That's what the devil will try to tell you. You can never be right with God. Yes, you can. I mean completely clean. I mean completely right. I mean what I'm talking about, you can be right with God. Okay? That's a lie of the devil. Yes, you can. But you can't unless you follow the formula. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. If and then. Okay? We've got to do something. God's willing to do something. And the honest truth is, the reason the devil tells you that is because he doesn't want you to give up that sin. Right. But I want to ask this question, because this is good. We're talking about revival. When's the last time that you could really say, you know what, I am thoroughly, wholly, and completely, to the best of my ability and to the best of my knowledge, right with the Lord? When's the last time you've been able to say that? Some of you could stand tonight and say, I could say that right now, preacher. Those of you that can't, you know what? You don't have to leave here in that condition. Anybody in here that wants to get serious enough with God to really get with him and really get before him and really stay there until you work it all out, I mean, get under that, you know, hot shower of the Holy Spirit conviction and let the scrub brush of God's word just cleanse. You know what? We can be clean. We can be right. And that's what revival is. You know, revival's not getting saved again, but if you really get revived, it kind of feels like you did. It's like a fresh start. And so that's what revival is sometimes. Revival sometimes is needed because of the attack of the enemy. And we're reminded there's stones in the rubbish. Revival sometimes needed because of the sinfulness of our life. Sometimes, though, revival is needed because of the ineffectiveness of our work. Let me have you go to Habakkuk. We're going to go back to the minor prophets. Habakkuk. Chapter number 3. Nahum, Habakkuk, and then Zephaniah. If that helps you. If you can't find those three, what do they say? Just stop turning the pages and look intelligently at wherever you're at. Nobody will know that you're not there. This is the last thought on revival. I want to leave you with these three things tonight. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. A prayer. Chapter 3, verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, unto Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive. Isn't it interesting? He's not asking for God to revive him. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. There's a lot of reasons over the course of a Christian life that you need a touch of revival. Sometimes the devil's just kind of wreaked havoc in your life and destroyed some things, and you need to be revived. Sometimes you just get kind of sideways with God. You get some sins into your life. You get some sinful habits. You get some things that need cleaned up. And you get into a revival meeting. God just does an old-fashioned scrubbing, and that's good. Gets us back where we need to be. But there's been several times in my life where I just needed God to revive his work. I've needed revival because of the seeming ineffectiveness of the work of God. What do you talk about, preacher? Well, I don't know what it is. Let me try to describe it this way, because the work of God's kind of a funny thing. Sometimes we'll go through times of great blessing and remarkable results. And you know what? It's just like everything's working. I mean, you know, people are tendered, people are responding, and you're out witnessing. Not everybody gets saved, but some people are getting saved. And you know, I mean, you just get through those times where it's just like you're doing all of this, and man, every week it's, hey, did you hear this? And hey, did you hear what happened over here? And you hear what happened over here? And man, you're just kind of like, hey, this is fun. And then you cannot do anything different. And sometimes go through times where our labor seem to be ineffective and void of results. And now, folks, I understand that we're just to be faithful, and whether or not we see the results or not, we just need to do it. But there is something about the results that helps us, you know? And there's been times where I've just kind of, man, I can't wait to get to church next time. I can't wait to see what God's going to do next. I mean, people are getting saved and things are happening, and man, I just can't wait till Sunday. I wonder what's going to happen this week. And then there's been, I don't know what else to call it, maybe a droughts. And then when you start, you know, saying, Lord, is there something wrong with me? Lord, what's going on? And I think God takes us through those times to test our faithfulness. Because, folks, the most important thing is that we be faithful. And but sometimes we're in those droughts, and we just kind of start going to the Lord and say, Lord, if I need revival, revive me. But what I really need to see is you to revive your work. And I think that's the prayer of Habakkuk here. You see, the funny part is that in both of those times, we a lot of times are seemingly doing the same things. At times our work's effective, at other times it seems like it produces little results. But during those times of unfruitfulness, I believe it ought to stir something in our heart where we pray the same prayer Habakkuk did, revive thy work, Lord, revive thy work. Revival begins when we realize, first of all, see what he prayed there, revive thy work. I think just by praying that prayer, we've kind of come upon the solution. Sometimes we're like, Lord, what's wrong with my work? And he's like, it's not yours anyway. Okay, I think revival begins when we begin to realize it's not our work, it's God's work. That means, you know what, the bus route's probably going to go better if you realize it's God's bus route. And the Sunday school class, maybe it go better when you realize it's not yours anyway. And that nursing home service isn't yours, and children's church isn't yours, and it's not my sermon or my congregation, it belongs to God. And so I think that even in praying that prayer, we get some help. And again, those of you, and we've got so many faithful laborers. And I don't know where you're at and what's happening in your area of ministry, but let me just say this. Sometimes we just need, and maybe this is the season we begin to cry out and ask God to do that. God, revive your work. And you know, preacher, I'm kind of in a lull right now. Maybe it's on my Sunday school class, my bus route, my soul winning, where it's, I'm still out there doing it, but I'm just not seeing what I used to see. And it's good every once in a while to say, Lord, would you revive your work, revive your work. You know, again, I got to the point where I just kind of, I guess I've done this long enough where I've seen the times of fruitfulness and I've seen the time where it seems like nothing's happening. And I've just gotten to the point where I've got to leave that in God's hands, you know. But I will say this, if that time of unfruitfulness begins to prolong, then I'm going to start praying. God, revive your work. Revive your work. Revive your work. You know, right out of Bible college, we started, came to Brazil, Indiana, and the Lord allowed me and my wife to start the Central Baptist Church there in Brazil, and was allowed to labor there for 7 years. And we had the same thing. There was times where just like unbelievable things are happening. I mean, I couldn't wait to call my friends and tell the stories. And then there was months where it just seemed like we're doing everything the same way and I can't get anything to happen. Doesn't seem like anything's happening. I'm working just as hard, praying, reading my Bible, studying, preaching. And how in the world can we have what we had the first 3 months of the year and then we go into this drought? And I remember one particular time, we'd gone through about 9 months where, man, I don't know if we've ever worked hard and prayed harder and done everything, but just like, I hadn't had a soul saved in 9 months. 9 months without a soul saved. Man, that was discouraging. And, you know, it seemed like the messages, you know, I was struggling in my preaching. It just seemed like there wasn't an effectiveness. There wasn't an anointing. I laid myself before the Lord. Lord, if it's me, just show me. If it's me, just show me. And worked as hard as I could and tried to do what I could and just, I don't know what it was. But for about 9 months, that's a long time when you're doing it every week, when you're living it out every week. It just seemed like, you know, hardly anybody would come. People would tell me they were going to come. They'd lie. People lie. Yeah, just in the Brazil area. Nobody else, but nobody down here. But people in this area, if they tell you they're coming to church, oh, they're coming. But it's different up there. And I think, what's wrong? And I remember just really kind of getting into a little bit of a spiritual funk. I mean, it's like, you know, then you start questioning, you know, well, why am I doing this? I mean, Lord, why is this happening? And this went on for, like I said, about 9 months. And you know, nobody knew had come. Nobody knew had joined the church. Nobody had been saved. Phone rings. Now, this is the end of 9 months of this. Phone rings. Well, I'm not on top. I'm not on the mountaintop. I need revival. I don't know I do, but I need revival right now. And this young couple that used to come to the church called me, and she had a grandfather that was in the hospital. And they came at the beginning months of the church, but then they kind of drifted off. We couldn't get them back. And here, it's been almost 2 years since I even heard from him. And then she calls me and says, my grandfather's in the hospital, and I think he's going to die. And I thought about you, and would you go see him? I'm going to tell you where I was spiritually. I wanted to say, no, I'm not going to go see your grandfather. Where have you been for the last 2 years? I'm over here beating my head against the wall trying to see something happen, and you won't even show up. But now that you're I'm telling you, you say that's wrong. I know it's wrong. I'm confessing it. Say, preacher, that's wicked. I know. But I'm just telling you, that's where I was. I'm sitting there, and I remember even looking at the phone thinking. But then, thank God for God. Amen. And he starts convicting me, and I'm thinking, good night. You know, whether these people come or not, if her grandfather's dying in the hospital, come on. You're a preacher, you're a Christian. There's, you know, even if you don't, I'm just telling you, I didn't really want to go. I didn't even really want to go. So I told her, I said, well, what's his name? And I wrote it down, and I said, well, I'll go see him. She said, he's pretty serious. I said, I'll go see him now. I'll just, give me a little bit of time. I'll get over there and see him now. So I wasn't in a good heart when I went and parked the car, riding up the elevator. I'm feeling sorry for me. I'm still mad at this couple, you know. But I walk into the hospital room, and there's two beds. There's a first bed here, but there's a gentleman in this bed, and there's a curtain pulled, and he's in bed number two. So I walk around, and he's got, what do they call it when they're, the ventilator on. He was conscious, but he needed help breathing. You walk around there, and you look at this man, you think, man alive, this is serious. She wasn't kidding. So I leaned over, and I began to talk to him about the Lord. And I told him, you know, your granddaughter told me, and I called her name, and she wanted me to come and talk to you about the Lord. And he went like this, like he wanted to hear it. So I laid the Bible open, and I said, I know you can't answer me, but I want to tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you've ever trusted Christ. And he shook his head no. And I said, do you want me to tell you how to be saved? And he went like that. Tears began to run off the side of his face, you know. And as best I could, I told him, and he kept going like this with his hand. He was hard of hearing, so I really had to speak up. So I'm leaning right over in his ear, and I'm talking to him, and I kept looking at him. He's understanding. And I said, I know you can't pray out loud with your voice, but God hears your heart. Do you want to trust Jesus? And I grabbed his hand. I said, squeeze my hand if you want to trust the Lord. Man, he just, as hard as he could, he squeezed it. So I said, I'm going to lead you in the sinner's prayer. I want you to pray this in your heart to the Lord. And I prayed it out loud. And he was trying to say it, but he couldn't. And tears were running down his face. And after I got done, I said, did Jesus save you? Know for sure you're saved. And he just like this, tears running down his face. And I get done talking to him, have a word of prayer with him, and it's time to leave, and I walk out of there, and I, you know, you're kind of, I'm really feeling bad right now, okay? I'm just really feeling guilty right now. I mean, I didn't even have a good attitude. You know what I needed, folks? I needed a revival. I needed to see God revive his work. You know, sometimes you just need to see, God, I need to know that you still can use me. I need to know that you haven't forgotten me. I need to know that my labor's not in vain in the Lord. I need to know that. So I was so overcome with that experience, and I really kind of started to leave the room, and as I walked past, I was almost out the door, and the other man that was in the bed beside him said, "Are you a preacher?" And I was so into what just happened, I just walked right past that guy, Brother Lee. I just walked right past him. Started out the door, and he said, "Are you a preacher?" And I stuck my head back, and I said, "I'm so sorry, I didn't introduce myself to you." And I said, "Yes, sir, I'm a preacher." And he said, "Don't be offended." And I said, "Offended by what?" And he said, "Well, you know, you had to talk loud." And I said, "Yes." He said, "So I heard everything." I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Well, I hope it's okay." I said, "What's okay?" "Well, when he prayed that prayer, I went ahead and prayed it too." I said, "Did you get saved?" He said, "I got saved. I wanted to tell you." Now, I was feeling really bad, and I'm really feeling bad. I didn't want to go there in the first place. I didn't really want to talk to this guy about the Lord. And after I got done, I was so into me, I walked past the second guy and didn't witness to him, and he had to stop and tell me that he got saved. So I got his name and his address and had a word of prayer with him, and I walked out and got in the elevator, and it was like God said, "This isn't your work. This is my work. Okay, your job's to just do what I tell you to do. If you see something happen, then that's great. If you don't see something happen, that's great. You stay in your business and you stay out of my business. I save people, you don't save people. You witness, you preach, you do what I command you to do, and let me take care of the rest." And that all happened in an elevator ride. By the time I got down the elevator, I went out by my car, and I'll just tell you, I knelt in the parking lot beside the car, and I just said, "Lord, thank you for reviving your work. Thank you for not being done with me. Thank you for being patient with me, even when sometimes when I'm doing your work, I'm not even doing it with the right attitude." See, folks, we're not always sinful in our actions. Sometimes we're just sinful in our attitudes. You can be doing the right thing with a rotten attitude. Trust me, I've done it many times. I know you can. And sometimes we just need to be reminded, God, this thing's really yours anyway. So let's just be faithful. We're in the midst of this. I don't want you to feel like, I don't know why God laid this on my heart tonight, but I felt like saying, you know what? Hey, don't mark revival off as done just because the meetings are in the rearview mirror. And I think God, if we'll let him, gives us seasons of revival. And maybe the devil's attacked you and yours, and maybe he's destroyed some things, and you needed to know that God can revive the stones out of the heap. Or maybe you are where I've been so many times in my life, where revival for me really needed to be about getting some things right with God. Or sometimes we're just busy in the work and we're not seeing what we want to see, and sometimes revival's about God reminding us, "It's my work. You be faithful." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for just a simple word study. We didn't look at all the verses. We looked at some. Lord, as you've preserved your King James Bible, you've put certain words down so that when we chase them around, they teach us certain things. And thank you for doing that. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that the revival meeting and what you started in our revival meeting this month, that it wouldn't be finished in our lives. And thank you for what I got to experience the last couple nights, dear God. And thank you that you still show up anywhere the word of God's being preached, whatever church it is. If there's a people that will come with a heart for revival, then you show up. Lord, revival oftentimes doesn't happen necessarily just in that meeting, but it started there and it continues on in our life. And Lord, I guess I would love for you to continue that here. First of all, in my heart and then amongst my people, dear God. And I pray that you do something. Keep doing some sweet things, Lord. Just help that one that's been under a satanic attack and they're discouraged and it looks like there's nothing left. And be with that one, dear God, that just really needs to get serious about getting clean and getting right. And the devil's lied to them and they think they can't. Lord, I pray, dear God, that your sweet Holy Spirit is calling them and drawing them and helping them right now. And then, Lord, for many of us that are busy in the work, most of us here busy in the work, Lord, sometimes we just need to see a revival in the midst of the work. And so, Lord, do something sweet in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name.